Blues are all about the stories, and there are many stories out there. Stories about the blues and the women and men who create this music. We go now to Potsdam, New York, the State University of New York there. The Crane Librarian of Music is a guy named Edward Camara, who has actually written some other books about the blues, but now he's got a book out called 100 Books That Every Blues Fan Should Own. I'm sure you just couldn't stop the list at 100, but thanks for whittling it down for us, Ed.
Thank you. Good morning.
Ed Camara wrote 100 books every blues fan should own. Where does a blues fan get started? I mean, how do you, you know, get a book that sort of takes you through? Is there an anthology or a collection, or where do we start?
Give us you could start with that book, actually. But it's no, it wasn't by chance, you know, that Greg and I begin our list with the first two books are general histories of the blues. One is called Nothing But the Blues, which was edited by Lawrence Cohn, and that is a marvelous picture book with essays and lists and bibliographies, and it's still an easy book to get through Amazon, and a new reader can then be introduced not only to the whole history of the blues and the leading artists and their best songs, but also be introduced to some of the best writers in the field. And then another book that we suggest readers to start first with is The Story of the Blues by Paul Oliver, who is the leading British scholar on the blues. And with those two books, from there, we use those as basis to continue our reading and writing on the other 98 books in the list. So a new reader could just start with Lawrence Cohn's book, Nothing But the Blues, and Paul Oliver's Story of the Blues.
Yeah.
And then they could then proceed with their reading and exploration of blues however they want, based on what interests them the most from reading those two books.
You read these stories, and they're just the stories. I'm looking at W.C. Handy's autobiography, Blues to be Heard and Seized. What a presence.
He really thought of music as a force, a natural force, and he wasn't going to just let it pass by him passively. He really, you know, as an artist, he wanted to seize it and write it down and save it. And especially in those days, in the 1900s and early 1910s, it was a little before, you know, blues started appearing on records. And so to really preserve something of the music, something of what African Americans were beginning to perform at that time, Handy really wanted to be sure to get that down on paper. And there was a demand for blues, even, you know, even if it was reading from sheet music. And so he really made the most of that opportunity.
Hey, Ed, Carlos here. One of the things this month is Women's International Month, and we've been celebrating a lot of women in jazz. And I realized that on your list here for number 38, the best woman guitarist that Big Bill Brunzi ever heard, Woman with Guitar, Memphis Minnie's Blues, just caught my attention.
That's right, and it just came out in a new edition. So and if one is very intrigued about reading about Memphis Minnie, who was one of the greatest blues musicians, blues singers and guitarists before World War II, they can easily get a copy of it through Amazon and other book dealers. A new edition has just come out. She recorded a number of hits between 1930 on up through 1950, and in fact, you know, for many blues fans, their main person's going to be Robert Johnson. Well, it turns out one of Robert Johnson's songs, Stop Breaking Down, is really a treatment, kind of a cover with different words of a couple of different Memphis Minnie tunes. So she's had a huge influence in her time, and many blues listeners enjoy listening to her CDs.
And then the other one that I just couldn't pass over because of the controversy over all the years and the tradition, Sing the Blues in Church to Cry Out Holy, 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 The Rise of Gospel Blues, of course, the music of Thomas Andrew Dorsey, who was a preacher, or actually a blues, and then became a minister.
That's right. He was Ma Rainey's piano player on tour.
Okay.
And then, and in fact, he was also a top-notch composer of blues. In fact, one of the chestnuts in all of blues is this weird little Hokum piece called Tight Like That, and everyone covered it. It was a massive hit in 1928 and 29, and it was there's a lot of covers by different artists of it. Mm-hmm. And about the same time or a year later or so, it was during that time he suffered several personal tragedies, and he turned more and more to creating what we now call gospel music. But before he became a gospel composer, he was one of the top pianists and composers in the blues.
Ed Camara wrote the 100 blues books, 100 books every blues fan should own. Talk just a moment about the scholarship around blues. I mean, there's blues and then there's writing about it. For a long time, there were not very many African-American writers. Now there are more. What are the recent or the current developments in scholarship around the blues?
Well, it's interesting because blues research is still pretty young. I mean, the earliest books from which everyone tends to copy from were published around 1959, 1960, and the men who wrote those books, I'm thinking especially of Samuel Charters of the United States and Paul Oliver of Britain, whom I've mentioned before, they were the ones who wrote the key early books that everyone has read and based their books on. And that was only 53, 54 years ago, and those two men are still alive. For many years, the trend in blues scholarship was blues as folk music. So you had a lot of folk music historians mm-hmm. and anthropologists writing on about the blues. And then in parallel, there were, record collectors and other independent scholars pursuing the history of the blues. And so you've had these two... I could call them factions, because at times they did war against each other, accusing each other of being incomplete about the blues. And then, but over the last, quietly, especially over the last 30 years, a very durable core of African-American scholarship has emerged, especially through the writings of Amiri Baraka and Julio Finn, and especially Houston Baker, whose book, Blues, Ideology, and African-American Literature, I think is one of the great books about the blues.
Well, you can read about the blues and get clues with Ed Camara's book, 100 Books Every Blues Fan Should Own, co-authored with Greg Johnson. Ed, thank you for just whetting our appetite, getting us started down this this wonderful course of study and listening the blues. Thanks very much, man.
Thank you very much.